It is 5 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock, 5:55 here at the Roadhouse on the Shore, and we are fortunate enough to be visiting now by phone with Travis Nowitzki. Of course, anybody from Cook County and beyond who has seen any of his photographic work knows the name of Travis Nowitzki. Travis, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
I have had the opportunity to check in at, in fact, I'm looking at them right now, and this is one of the unfortunate parts about radio.
Yeah.
We get to talk about photography, but I'm the only one that's seeing it, although I would tell folks at home right now, if they want to do this, go to spaceweather.com. And looking at some incredible photographs that you took just about a week ago during some of the aurora.
Yeah, in fact, it was
August 6th.
Early morning of August 6th, whatever day that was, last
now,
Saturday?
Let's see. I think that's right. That's exactly right. So how did, you know, and in this particular instance, and you caught, again, some terrific photographs, some of which I want to talk about. One that I'm looking at that's on Space Weather, that looks like the witch tree in the foreground with just some incredible shots of the aurora in the background. How did you know to get out? I mean, I assume that you heard there was going to be perhaps a chance of some northern lights. So how do you respond? How do you get to take pictures like this?
Well, it's taken several years of practice for one thing, but also there are a couple of really good resources online that actually help you track these forecast models.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the websites is, of course, Space Weather. They have satellites that actually are constantly stationed around the sun, and they record solar flares or CMEs, what are known as coronal mass ejections. And when those things happen, they can tell if they're directed towards Earth or not. And in this case, there was a major flare, and it happened to be right on the side of the sun facing Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when these things happen, they say it takes about 48 hours, I think, for them to reach us. So they were talking about this for about 2 days before it actually happened.
Huh. So I assume that rather than, you know, I used to have a group of friends that promised me they would call me when they saw the aurora borealis. Rather than a prayer chain, it was kind of a northern lights chain. And they all always got so enthralled with seeing them that they always forgot to call me. I could dispense with that if I went on this site and checked it.
Yeah, it's something that I check just about daily. Now, it's been very quiet since last weekend. There hasn't been any activity at all.
So you saw it on the website. You knew it was coming. Hopefully, it would be a condition where you could get some good pictures. How do you make the decision to know where you're going to go to take a photo? What prompts you as far as the setting itself goes?
Well, that is a difficult prospect for us here, being that we live on the North Shore, and the Northern Lights, of course, in most cases, are to the north. We're always looking over a line of trees,
right,
a big ridge. So I have places that I've scoped out ahead of time, either on other shoots or just as I'm wandering around. I'm always paying attention to direction, and if I see a clearing or a nice meadow, a nice lake that has a nice view to the north, I'll keep that in mind as a potential place.
Uh-huh.
And the witch tree or the spirit tree happens to be one of the best places. It's also very close to my home, so it doesn't take me long to get there. And due to the intensity of the forecast for this particular storm, I've been wanting to get pictures of the profile of the tree that actually looks kind of southeast, and they were forecasting very strong northern lights on this night, so I thought, this is where I'm going, because if any night that it could happen, I could get this other side of the tree with lights behind it, it's going to be tonight.
Yeah.
And it turned out to work out really well. The northern lights are measured on a scale, kind of like the Richter scale with earthquakes.
Oh, is that right?
It goes from 0 to 9, 9 being the most intense. And when this storm started on Saturday, I believe it was Saturday evening, Friday or Saturday, it was measuring 8 on that scale.
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw on the Space Weather website that it said it was one of the strongest geomagnetic storms in years.
In years.
Yeah. Well, and you did get some phenomenal photos. One, though, that is, it's not on that website, but it is on your website, is absolutely one of the coolest photographs I've ever seen, and that is, again, that night. And you have, there's two people kind of in the foreground. All you get.
Oh, that's a different night, though.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh.
That was actually funny you bring that up because that.
Oh, that's a year ago.
That was this weekend last year. Yeah.
That's a year ago. I'm sorry, I didn't look at the year. Well, I still think it's one of the coolest because it's got the Aurora Borealis low in the sky, greenish and pinkish. It's got the Milky Way. And also a meteor. You can see the line of a meteor going through it. That's a phenomenal. You can't plan for that.
That was one of the Perseids, which, of course, are happening again tonight and tomorrow night. The Perseid meteor shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that night we kind of went up there to watch the meteors more than anything. That photo was taken up on Mount Maud here on the reservation.
Sure.
So it's got a nice view, 360 degrees. Great place to watch a meteor shower. Took pictures for several hours that night just trying to catch the meteors going through the frame, which is pretty hard to do.
Now, did you bring those two people along with you to
they were actually already up there. They called me up there and said they were heading up there and wanted me to come along just because they know I'm into that stuff. So.
We're visiting with Travis Novitsky, a wonderful photographer from up in Grand Portage. Travis, how long have you been doing photography? How and when did you start?
I really can't pin it down to a real precise time, but like 9th or 10th grade of high school is really when I started getting into it, more than just taking an occasional picture here and there.
Uh-huh.
That was around the time when I started carrying a camera with me just about everywhere I went. But around 2001, when digital cameras really started hitting the mainstream, that's when I really dove into it and started thinking about getting a website. And I've had a website now for going on about 6 or 7 years.
Uh-huh.
In the last few years, I've done really, really well with it. Get quite a few print orders directly through the website, and having a website has resulted in a lot of sales of usage rights to some of the images. For example, Cook County Tourism.
Sure, sure. Well, so and we've had the opportunity to visit with other photographers, and in fact, Lane Kennedy was in not too long ago, and he's talking about going from film to digital.
Yeah.
Do you ever use film anymore?
I don't, and I never shot a large amount of film when film was the norm.
Uh huh.
And being that I really started getting into it more when digital came along, I never shot film long enough to get hooked on it.
I see.
This is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yep.
So the transition for me was really easy.
Sure. And one of the things that I've always wondered about photographers and photography is that, you know, do you know, and maybe it's the same way, you mentioned that you got to where you were walking around with the camera all the time. I assume that still is probably the case, whether you're walking with it or it's not far away from you. How much of your photography comes from your someplace and you think, oh my gosh, what a great shot, as opposed to thinking, like you did with the Aurora Borealis, I'm planning for this and trying to get a particular shot?
How much of it is happenstance?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I would say probably 60% by chance and 40% planned.
Hmm.
Just a quick number off the top of my head. If you spend a little bit of time on my website, one thing you'll notice is that I do a lot of nighttime photos in general, not just northern lights, but lightning or star trail images that are 2 to 3 hours long sometimes, moonlight, fireworks, you know, that's a small percentage of those night photos. But if there's something cool happening, like it's a full moon or really interesting clouds going over during a full moon, or if there's a lightning storm going through, odds are I'm going to be out there somewhere looking for pictures.
And I assume when you do that, you've got to be there for a long time, because
in most cases
you don't know when it's going to necessarily when it's going to be there. You don't know when the next good shot's going to be, so you got to be there for a long time.
It's kind of funny because you'll often spend 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the night out shooting, and you'll come home with 20 pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because a lot of these, especially when you're doing star trails, and you're doing an exposure that's an hour long, you're sitting there for an hour and you're only getting one photo.
Oh, sure, sure. Describe that a little bit, Travis, if you will, when you've got an exposure that's an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
What's the process there so that you're able to get what you hope to be able to get? Clearly, you've got a camera that is able to do it, but
yeah.
And I'm assuming it's not handheld.
Right. You need a tripod. That's number one. You need a good, sturdy tripod, and then you need to have what used to be called a cable release or a shutter release, which now is, of course, electronic. You plug it into the side of your camera. Some of them are actually remotes now that you can just keep in your pocket.
Uh-huh.
But you need something that will hold your shutter open for as long as you want it to be open. So you basically can leave your shutter open all night long until the camera dies, the battery dies, if you really want it to.
And do you know, can you tell with your naked eye or with your camera what you're getting when you have an exposure that's going for that long?
Well, I've done enough of them now where I can visualize it a lot better than I could, say, 4 years ago. And one of the things I look for when I'm doing those really long ones is where the North Star is. So in most cases, I want to have the North Star in the frame.
I see.
Because not everybody knows this, but the North Star is the only star in the sky that doesn't move, so all the other stars spin around it. So that provides a nice focal point when you're trying to figure out how you're going to compose the shot. Now, that being said, I don't always have the North Star in those kind of pictures, but most times I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll kind of look for where that's oriented within the scene that I want to shoot and just try to, you can't always do it, but you try to look for a good composition there.
And obviously that takes years and years and years and years of practice of shooting to understand composition.
Yeah,
that's a lot of pictures, I'll bet. I would also assume that since you do take as many nighttime photos as you do, and not just, I mean, I'm not necessarily talking about fireworks, but that you have to have a pretty good understanding of the stars and the planets, the astronomy, the sky, that whole deal. You know what you're looking at up there.
The principles, yeah. I mean, the North Star is the main thing that you need to be able to find. And once you know how to do that, it's not that hard to find it. If you know where the Big Dipper is, you can find the North Star.
Now, and then, of course, the other cue for those of us that are less than adept at that is, how do you find the Big Dipper? But sometimes I can see it and I know it.
Yeah.
Now, do you do, you know, all the work that I've seen, or at least most that I've seen, is, you know, the natural world, the sky
I don't really do people photography. I don't do weddings. I don't do portraits.
They're just not very interesting, are they? People, I mean.
Well, animals are easier to get along with sometimes. Harder to find, though.
Now, is most of your work done up at Grand Portage?
Yeah, the majority of it is done on the reservation, and I do branch out into other areas of the North Shore and, of course, Cook County before I go further than that. But
you know, you mentioned the impact that your website has had in terms of your photography and the marketing of that. Perhaps we should let people know before we go any further and before I forget what your website is.
Right. It's just my name. It's travisnovitsky.com.
And that's Travis, like we would expect, an Novitsky.
Correct.
Are there other places that people can see your photography?
You can see it in person, actually, through the end of this month at the Cross River Heritage Center down in Schroeder.
Oh, sure.
They display artwork there, and I have a number of prints that all have a nighttime theme that are on display as part of their August show.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've had a chance to see a few of those, and they're wonderful.
And also Stone Harbor Wilderness Supply in Grand Marais.
Yep.
They carry a few of my framed prints, and the Johnson Heritage Post has a small selection of my matted prints, too.
What, as you go forward, and as you, you know, as you get better at what you do, as you know more, do you have, I hate to call it goals, but any kind of aspirations as far as your work, your photography goes, things that...
I don't really have any long-term goals. I'm just kind of doing it day by day now and enjoying the process of it and enjoying what I get out of it. Because this is not what I do for a living. It is a large part of what I do, but I also work full-time. So this has to be done apart from my quote-unquote day job.
Sure. So, and how about equipment? You know, obviously, we're just visiting with somebody about the advances technology has made. I know that in the area of photography, that's been incredible. What kind of equipment do you use, Travis?
Well, like you said, I shoot all digital. and I shoot with a Canon. It's a 5D Mark II is the model. And it's an SLR camera, which means one you can put different lenses on.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked briefly about tripods. I have a nice, sturdy Gitzo model tripod. I'd really recommend those. They're expensive, but they are worth the money.
I'm assuming that anything that you use, you're not getting by on the cheap if you want to produce a quality,
right,
quality product.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you mentioned the Canon, and obviously we're not doing advertising here, but mm-hmm. on the Aurora Gallery, and for those folks who would like to see, again, some of this photography, go to spaceweather.com, and then click the Aurora Gallery, and right away you'll see some of Travis's photos, but there's a number of other photographers who shot at about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the exact same time.
And all around the world.
All around the world.
Yeah.
And the majority of them use Canons.
I don't know. I don't really pay attention
to it. I'm sure you don't. But it seems that Canons came up more than any of the others.
It seems like you hear about Canon more, but, I mean, really, the equipment, to an extent, is secondary to the willingness to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not out there, you're not going to get the shot.
Now, that's got to be difficult for you. As you said earlier, you got a day job.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to go out and, like a week ago, or any of them that you do, and spend the time that you need to get those shots that you get, you must be a little light on sleep, Travis.
Well, it gets shuffled around here and there. I still get as much sleep as I normally would, but I have to adjust my schedule. So that's why these forecast sites are nice, because I can find out what night is going to be a good possibility.
Right.
If I'm not going out every single night.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
This particular instance, I worked that day, and then I went home, and I slept for 3 or 4 hours right after work, because I knew I was going to be up for half the night.
Sure, sure.
So and I still get my sleep. It just gets moved around a little bit.
And from the photographs, well worth the time that you spent out there. They truly are just beautiful.
And I would like to mention one thing before we wrap up here.
Sure.
Also on my site right now, I have a gallery full of loon images. I was very lucky to find a loon nest this year that was very easy for me to get to, close mm-hmm. to where I live. And consequently, I spent, forget how many hours, countless hours throughout July and early August, photographing this loon on the nest and then the chicks after they were born, getting out on the lake and being able to shoot them, photograph them from a kayak or a canoe.
Uh-huh.
And consequently, I have a gallery of images that I am just as proud of as these night images. Pictures of the babies getting fed minnows by the adults and riding around on the parents' backs.
I'm looking at that right now.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that gallery, because a lot of time, a lot of work went into that.
I'm sure
that's
true.
And it was a lot of fun getting it, too.
Oh, that's great. Well, Travis, I want to thank you very much for taking the time. I just wish that, as we said earlier, that somehow we could also see what we're talking about. But again, I want to encourage people to go to travisnovitsky.com, where you'll be able to see a lot of these. And again, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.